Melvin. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you live from San Diego, California. This program is put together here at the 11th Hour Ministries to share the Word of God and the Scripture according to God. And so for the next hour, we are going to be revering our love for the Lord and showing how much we do love God. Through the Scripture, we learn what God wants of our lives and through our lives. And once again, this program is dedicated. This is the next hour dedicated for reading the Scripture and just understanding how much our God loves us and wanting to share His truth and His word in this lost and dark world. Here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we consider this to be what we call a miracle in motion. And the reason why we say that is the Word of God, according to the Bible, is living and active. And the Scripture is God's gift to us. The Bible is God's gift to us so that we can understand Him greater and to get an intimate relationship with God. When we talk about the word intimacy, really, if you break that word down, it's into me you see. And here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we are just so thrilled that we have the freedom to read our Bibles and the ability to share God's truth and God's Word through the Bible. And so this is, like I said, one hour dedicated to God's truth and Word. And so I'd like to open with a prayer for all those who are listening this evening. Father God, please forgive us for all the sins that we committed to this moment of time. All the people who are listening, God, please forgive us all for everything that we've done to trespass against You and to trespass against each other. God, we ask that You would cleanse us and clean our hearts and souls and minds and spirits and open our hearts to know what this hour will mean to us and what, God, that You brought us all here together in Your name to read Your Word and share Your truth. And God, we ask that each person would have something tonight that would impact them in a great way through Your Scripture, that would help to move their lives. Good God, we know that without You in our lives, it's darkness and pain, and with You, it's wholeness and the peace of Christ. There is no greater peace in the world than the peace of Christ. And so we pray tonight that those who are listening, including myself, God, that we would get the peace of Christ in our hearts so that we could go on to perpetuate Your truth and Your word in this lost and dark world. And God, we know that we look forward to the day when every single knee will bow to You in reverence and respect to the true King, the true Master, and the true Lord, our God. And we pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. Once again, this is the 11th Hour Ministries. This hour has been put together for studying the Bible and reading the Bible. I actually am a person who belongs to a church here in Southern California called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. And the church that I belong to does the things according to the Bible that is really exactly replicates what God asks for a church to be through the Bible. This is a church that's alive and well. You walk in this building and you know that God's in the house. And you can feel that people are feeling God's love in this room. They're sharing God's love. They're learning God's truth and word. And we highly recommend anyone in the Southern California area, if you have a chance to make your way to the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, it's just something that will change your life forever without a question. And if you're not in this area, we do recommend that you would find yourselves a Bible-based church, a church that follows the Word of God according to the Scripture, and everything according to Scripture is done in the building, the body and bread, baptism, things of this nature. And it's just something that you can't live a life without God in it and ask that God will bless your life. If we're not willing to go to church, if we're not willing to sacrifice for God, if we're not willing to read His Word, fellowship, visit His home, do these type of things, then it's amazing to me that people will go on and live lives according to their own will and their own desires, and then every time they get in trouble, they call upon God. Well, God wants our attention up front every day, the first thing, and then He'll bless our lives as we walk through this world when we're walking hand in hand with Him. But he will also, we the Bible teaches us that we turn his face away from us by not going to the church, by not reading our Bible, by not calling upon him and walking with him daily. And so that's one thing that is here we're going to be emphasizing tonight is we have to spend the time in his home. We have to seek God, and he will respond to us. We need to show God how much we love him, and it's got to count. It's got to be from the heart. The Bible says that God can read the attitudes of our hearts, and without that, it's no surprise that our lives will be in turmoil, because that will be God calling. Not that there isn't challenges when you do know the Lord and you're walking with him, but when we talk about the peace of Christ, there is no peace on this planet Earth if you don't have the peace of Christ. You can have all the material things in the world. You can have the friends and money and fast life and things of that nature, but all those things eventually will fade. And there's always going to be a hunger and thirst for those who don't turn to the Lord and ask for him to fill their hearts and lives. And according to that, we actually have a scripture here tonight in Isaiah, which is an invitation to the thirsty. And this scripture goes as such. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come by wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. Your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give an ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making a bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and the bread of the eater. So this is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will be accomplished what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush, you will grow pine tree, and instead of briars and myrtle, you will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Imagine God tells us you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The scripture is just so amazing. It's so awesome. When you get into the Bible and learn, I was actually taught once upon a time how to read my Bible. There was a time in my life when I thought the Bible was a dust collector, and it looked really good on my shelf along with all my other artwork and accoutrements, but to take the Bible and open it and to take the journey of real life through the Word of God. There's so much that God wants us to learn through Scripture, and the only way we can have a one-on-one relationship with God is to read His Word and understand what He's telling us solely. There's an old saying my mother used to always bring up is that God doesn't have any grandchildren. And he doesn't want any grandchildren. He doesn't want you to love God through your priest or your mother or your brother or sister or some other type of relationship. He wants you solo, one-on-one, personal relationship. And so that's what the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside promotes. And it's just an amazing understanding when you really have come to God and you've been called by him and he's moving in your heart and you respond to him, which is hugely important. When we give God allow him to know that we hear him and we are responding to him and we are being obedient to him, he will take you on a journey greater than anything there is on this planet Earth and for all time. So we get to share his love here and we get to share his love for all time, which is just phenomenal. Speaking of that, we actually have on line one a gentleman that is an old, old friend of mine, Astrid.
Marcatona.
Astrid Boucher.
How are you, Pastor?
Ladies and gentlemen, on the radio right now is a gentleman that I met approximately 10 years ago. And at that time, I belonged to a different Bible-based church that had the same conviction of Scripture, and there was baptism, there was body and blood of Christ. This church, as the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, taught that if it's in the Bible, we believe it, and if it's not, we don't. And it's that simple. Everyone goes on in this world to, you know, give opinions and steer and drive their lives on their own understanding. And the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. But yet, how many people keep trying to figure this out on their own? Well, when you realize that God says, don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on him and he will show you the way, your life will change forever. And a pure, true example of that is my friend Astrid Boucher, who's on the phone right now. We belong to a church, I belonged to a church 10 or so years ago.
Well, first I want to congratulate Mark with your great gospel that you're putting forward. That was awesome.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Emmanuel. Yeah. And just preach the word. I mean, you're an awesome man. You're an awesome man of God. And you truly have the God's word in you, you know, and you eventually will reach a lot of people, you know, hopefully, and save many, you know, through Christ.
Well, through, you know, it's God who does. You and I, we just work here, right, off street? So let me go on, buddy, and explain to the listeners how we met. Is that I was a member of a church, and I was a guy who had everything in the world, all the fancy cars, money, fame, fortune, all this crazy stuff. But I just felt this emptiness in me. And there was once upon a time when I wandered into a movie theater where this church had gathered for the evening, and I saw people who were my own age, and we all had the same challenges and trials and tribulations and, you know, every walk of life these people were in this building. And the only difference was that every single one of them loved God, and every single one of them wasn't embarrassed to say it, and every single one of them was absolutely transformed by God. And I could not believe when I walked in the room and I felt such godly love from those people, and for perfect strangers came to me and loved me with godly love and shared their time and word the Bible. And I mean, they just took me in as an orphan and adopted me into God's family and loved me they loved me into a godly living or a godly lifestyle and helped me to learn how to have a one-on-one relationship with our God. And so long story short is that the pastor from this particular church and I went out into a coffee house once upon a time, and in order to just kind of read the Bible and see if, you know, God would put anyone in our lives that would be open to hear the truth. And in wanders a man named Astrid Boucher. and Boucher was at a time in his life where he was, and I'll say the word as I was too, is he was lost. He didn't know the Lord, and he was wandering in our dark and lost world, trying to figure it out on his own, had made some mistakes and things of this nature. And by
truly hurt.
Hurt, wounded, shattered, broken, whatever you want to call it, right, brother? And when he came into this coffee house, and we eventually said, he said, well, what are you guys reading? And we sat down together, and within no time, the person that walked in the door of that coffee house, lost, broken, shattered, and tormented, became interested in the Bible, and through what the church had considered what they called this discipleship, which they said I was going to be this man's discipler. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And, you know, you folks are on hearing a radio program from a group of people who just love God. We're not, we don't have doctorates and master's degrees and theology and all this, but, you know, we're people who love God. And so as that particular story unfolds, all I knew was God changed my life, and these people loved me and shared the truth with me. So I figured I'm going to get with this guy, and I'm not going to let him out of my sight. We're going to read our Bibles all the time. I'm going to love him just like God loved me and see where it goes. And within no time flat, why don't you tell him, Boucher, what happened in your life, buddy?
Well, you know, hey, man, I was pretty much dead in that point. And when you found me, I was having a lot of doubtful thoughts, you know, negative thoughts, worldly thoughts, that it was really tormenting, you know, my living, my way of living, you know. And in that moment that I truly met you two, you were really, you know, somehow I could see that you were all enjoying it, reading from this book that you guys were reading. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go and see what you guys were up to, you know, and I can see all that love and light through you too. And now I'm like, I'm just going to go and see if I can take part, you know, if I can take.
You wanted what we had. You wanted some of that, right?
Well, absolutely. I wanted to laugh and rejoice and all that. And next thing you know, it led from that moment to another moment. And here I am today, you know, grown up from a child in Christ that you guys put me into it. I am a new creator, you know.
New creation.
A new creation.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus Christ that I made new, you know. I made new in
and it changed your life forever, right, buddy?
I'm a free man. I'm a free man in Christ.
Amen, buddy. And,
amen.
You know, and what's interesting is that I want the listeners to know is that this was 10 years ago. Talking 10 years ago when this man and I met. And what's interesting about tonight is that through the 10 years ago that we met, we were together for what, 2-3 years, Boucher, before we, you know, life took us up into different states and things of that nature. I think it was 2 or 3 years.
And, yes, pretty much.
And since then, what we knew is the Bible said, Jesus in the Bible says, who are my mother and who are my brothers? And this man and I became so connected in the Word of God, and we knew that God put us together, and we made a commitment to each other that no matter where we went on this planet Earth, Astrid is from Albania, and so I didn't know if at that time he would go back to Albania or whatever, but it didn't matter. I said, as long as we made a commitment to each other, that as long as we were both alive, that we would never leave each other. And we would always stay in touch, and it was mandatory that no matter, you know, whatever way life took us, that we would keep in touch. And through the years, we've gone from different states, and we've had different things occur in our lives. And I hadn't heard from Austreet for 6 months, maybe 8 months from this morning when I got a phone call on my message machine, which it was my old bro calling up, checking in with me. And, you know, it's like, the only way I can describe it, it's like, it's kind of like the feeling of hitting the lottery in your heart when, you know, I hadn't heard from him, didn't know where he was.
Hey,
you know, but when every time that Austreet and I get on the phone, we feel this renewal of happiness in our lives that is instantly like coming home again. It's like, you know, it's like coming home on turkey dinner, you know, Thanksgiving to your family. And so I was so excited with that, Austreet. And as we know, we have some certain listeners, Josephine and Arthur, for the folks who are listening. This was the common denominator between how I met Josephine and Arthur, is that Austreet came from California, went to Colorado, ended up meeting new other Christians that just kept loving him in Colorado, which actually happens to turn out to be Arthur and Josephine, and the heart that those people had for just kind of carrying, you know, the same love for Austreet that I had when he ended up in Colorado. We've developed a relationship through that as well, and have continued to stay in touch ever since. And yeah, you know, it's just amazing that God's family, well, first of all, God wants all of us, we're all his children, and he wants his children to share his love and his truth.
The Spirit of God goes always seek the Spirit, you know, always goes after God's Spirit. And I have truly, you know, met some wonderful Christian that they have the Spirit, God's Spirit in them. I mean, they're truly well, and you know.
And you once, Austreet, lived in darkness, just like I mean, there was something missing. There was some, I was, like you said, buddy, broken, shattered, wounded. I mean, I don't care what you want to call it, but just something missing, a void in your heart. And look what, and so from that moment.
I was pretty much like raised from the dead, you know.
Brother.
I was raised from the dead, you know. I was totally a dead person at that moment.
Amen.
You know, I was just a walking dead person. And now, you know, I was found a sinner. You know, I got in saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And having the faith and the works that I did in Jesus Christ had set me total freedom. Had put me in a total, you know, control and free in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's like you come as a sinner, but then he cleanses you from all the sins. And then you're all the sins that, you know that you're made perfect. You're just a perfect being before God's nature.
Before his eyes, yeah.
But before Jesus Christ, you know that you're just a perfect, you know.
And the
scripture, Romans 8:1-2 says that I am free from all condemnations.
Hmm.
You know, I'm assured that God works for my good in all circumstances.
Wow.
Romans 8:28.
Hmm.
So I'm a free
spirit
angel.
You're
being.
Absolutely, buddy. And you know, going on with Isaiah, buddy, which you heard we read earlier here, and let me just go on to the next scripture here, and this is it's just another indication of what happens in our lives when we do turn to the Lord and the transformation that takes place. And it's the salvation for others. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and in its walls a memorial and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. All foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and to hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers to exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those that are already gathered. And, you know, buddy, God will bring us all together. The point of that scripture in my mind is God has a plan for all of our lives. And when he calls us by pain or darkness that we feel in our lives, and when we're finally able to respond or turn to the Lord, God opens his family to us. He's going to, people who are single and wonder why they don't have a great relationship or a marriage, you know, I believe that God will hold back his blessed daughter for a guy who doesn't, who's not going to treat her properly until he's prepared to do so. And when we do understand our God and when we turn to him, he will super bless our lives. And he's going to put people in our lives that are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
You are my brother in Christ, bro. You and I have been together for 10 solid years. I haven't heard from you in 6, 7
forever.
And we're going to be forever. And, that, you know, it's so awesome to hear from you today. And that, you know, how amazing is it? We were perfect strangers 10 years ago. We got together, read our Bibles. Our lives were transformed forever. We got baptized in the same proximity of time, became new creations in the Lord, watched miracles occur right before our eyes, have been in the presence of angels. I mean, we have seen things that are beyond this world's my wildest imaginations. And it's, why is it still with us? You know, the question that I would have for all these folks is, here's 10 years later. We all went, you know, our different ways in life and all these other people of the church at that time. And it sticks with you because God's true and it's real. And you know too much when you know about God, and you're protected by the blood of Jesus who sacrificed his life for us. Boucher, I'm sitting here in the studio with two young ladies who the listeners may be familiar with. One is Edith and the other is Lisa. And what happened in the, for those who are listening that don't know how this unfolds in our street, I believe you wouldn't know either, is once upon a time I met Lisa through a certain chain of events that, Edith, through a certain chain of events where we developed a great relationship and we talked about God and things of this nature. And so time went by and we just kind of had a great relationship. And Edith was listening to the radio program and once had called me and said that there was a friend of hers named Lisa who had some very difficult times in her life. And she thought that by hearing the program or talking to me on the program, that it could be a beneficial or helpful thing. I got on the radio and Lisa shared with me about 5 or 6 weeks ago that she was in such pain and turmoil or torment that she was feeling that she wanted to go to be in a suicidal type of situation. This broke my heart. And so after I did speak with Lisa on the radio, and I could feel her pain. And I was in that position once in my life. I mean, I just felt that she was so alone and that God was sending her to be healed by his love. And so we spoke on the radio. After the radio program, we got together and talked about, you know, what was going on in her life. And I said to her very clearly is, I can promise you one thing. If you turn to the Lord and the scripture and to a good God-based church, that your life will be transformed forever. And I can promise you that you will turn a new leaf in life. And so having all that take place, Boucher, Lisa's sitting right here next to me, and she's been baptized since then. She has, her life has transformed. I'm going to let her explain from here, but I just wanted to kind of give an update on how we all got here. But to me, how amazing it is that God has brought the four of us together, perfect strangers, yet we're all family members. And the way that God works is when our hearts are open, when we don't have stubbornness and our own will in front of God's will, when we're broken or down or we're accepting to his truth, this is what the program 11th Hour Ministries has been put together for. And that's why we call this a miracle in motion, because it's real, it's live, and it's just amazing to witness what God does here. So I'm going to open up the microphone to my darling friend Lisa, who has become a very great dear friend of mine by this point in the short time that we've known each other. But what's interesting is when the Bible says, who are your mothers? Jesus in the Bible says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? You know, I have my sister sitting next to me, two of my sisters, and I got my brother on the other line. And so what's interesting about that is you're never alone again. When you have God in your life, not only is he going to be in your life, and you'll know he's there no matter who you're with or where you are, but in talking to Edith here on my right-hand side, when we're around people who don't know God, and when we do know God and we're in the presence of those who don't know him, it's really interesting to see how different groups of people respond to controversy or you know, even how they treat us or love us. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, I've chosen to surround myself by God's people and to try to grow to know him greater. And that's what, like I said, a miracle in motion. I'm just super grateful to be here with my family sharing this truth and love. And Lisa, why don't you get, you know, from here, why don't you explain to the people, you know, what has gone on in your life in the last 6 weeks?
I want to welcome Boucher because it was just last week that Mark told me the story about you and him. So it was so appropriate that you called tonight. Mm. You were definitely supposed to be a part of this show tonight because
Well, amen. Thank you.
And the fact that then you were loved by Arthur and Josephine.
Amen.
Yeah, they're great people. They're truly, you know, they did a lot of work on me to be to where I am right now. I mean, Mark picked me up from the garbage can and they, you know, they delivered me clean and spotless now, you know.
I tell you, it's still incomprehensible to me. I can't understand how, I mean, from the minute I first talked to Mark on the radio, at the end of the show, there were two people calling from Houston who were loving me, and at that time, self-love was not even an option. I couldn't love myself, and I definitely consider them that they're part of the miracles in my journey to Christ, and I'm so grateful for them. You just don't know. And then Mark tells me how he loved you like he loved me, and then Arthur and Josephine loved you, and they're loving me too. So, brother, we were meant to talk tonight, and I praise God.
Amen.
To be able to know you tonight.
Amen.
Well, John 14 makes that very clear. Love each other as I have loved you. You know, like, be sacrificial in a way that just the way that I have done for you all. So this is how we were to be to each other. So you know, the message is very clear, you know, that what Jesus calls us as Christians to do.
For so long, I was in a family of 9 kids and my parents, and I was constantly lonely. And actually, since I was baptized and God gave me a Christ mind and he put me around all these wonderful people, God used Arthur and Josephine, Mark and his wife, Edith, my two sisters, and I never felt worthy of love. And it's all these people who have made me see that and make me feel loved and valuable and purposeful. And it's so much a blessing, but for the first time in 50 years, these people have touched a place in me that was never touched before. And I feel like that now I am lovable, I'm worthy of love. I told my husband when he passed away in October, 2 days before he died, I said, you know, I'm really trying to love myself, and him being so close to heaven said, and you're almost there. And it was with the help of everybody here, and I hope that now he sits at the right hand of God and rejoices at the new me that came up from the baptismal font on August 10th.
Amen.
And I felt lonely, I felt that I was going out, because you don't know the story, but my house has been foreclosed on. And my home of 15 years is going to be taken away from me because after my husband passed, I couldn't come up when the loan adjusted. A lot of people out there understand exactly what I'm saying. But I get the opportunity at 50 to venture out and actually find the person that God intended me to be. And I was grieving the belief that I have so much love to give, and I never imagined that Jesus' plan for me was to go out into the world alone. But actually, as I was writing a letter to Arthur and Josephine, I realized and I've started accepting that I'm not alone.
Amen.
He's given me Roberta Joe and Arthur and Mark and Judith and Edith and my sisters and now you. And I venture into the unknown with so much love and so many to love that...
Thanks God's grace for all of us
to understand. It's so awesome. I have a need to reach people and let them know. But as a result of all these people that have loved me, Satan does not now get the satisfaction of me ever feeling less than, unworthy, unloved. I'm a child of God now. And together with my brothers and sisters, we stand as one in love and hope in life to the glory of God. And like Mark has been reading from Isaiah, and I also go out with scripture that tells me in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, for I will help you. And again, in Luke 12:29, he says, he will give me all that I need if I make the kingdom of God my primary concern. In Jeremiah 29, he says, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm to you, but to give you a future, a hope. And although life has not been easy, when I leave my house, and I'm going to be doing that probably next month, I'm going out holding God's hand to search for the person that God originally intended me to be. And as I search for God and his purpose in my life, he's going to take me by the hand there. He's going to see to my needs, and he's going to reward me with a hopeful future.
Amen.
And I'm so desperate to find the love and respect that for so long I didn't allow myself.
Mm.
But I want to honor God, and I want to be exactly as God pictured me when he stood planning me and wrote the plan for my life. And I know that as I grow in God, he's going to be opening doors for me. And he will enlighten me to the right choices. I no longer have to do it myself. God's there. Mark's there. You're there. Edith's there. The angels are with me now.
And what's interesting about that, Lisa, is here in Psalms, I mean, you know, the word of God is what does the work. And I didn't know that the Bible itself is the main ingredient to what will keep us faithful. Well, by studying the word, by scouring over the word, by just doing like an archaeological study, I mean, or an archaeological dig. When you read the Bible, you have to absorb the words. I mean, this is God's gift to us. This is his truth in you know, black and white. And here in Psalms 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Now, keep in mind, you know, the Bible doesn't make any mistakes. There's not one word in it that's out of place or improper, etc. And the Bible says here, I sought the Lord. So that means we have to seek that God first. And usually in pride and arrogance and all kinds of different emotion, you know, physical human characteristics, we stand in God's way and block him from being in our lives. But when I sought the Lord and he answered me, he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And this is Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so that's what's so amazing is that with all of us have been in that position where, you know, we've felt this pain of being crushed or brokenhearted, and how many people can relate to that? And God is the one, by turning to him and through the scripture, that gives the new life. I mean, listen to, you know, Lisa, 5-6 weeks ago, you were talking about suicide.
Oh, I know.
Now you're talking about, and I think the main ingredient was that, you know, you talked about that up till that point in your life, it looked like a burden every day you got out of bed, and now it looks like a blessing.
It's a treasure to be explored.
in 6 weeks' time. How can that happen? How can somebody go from a burden of life every day, you know, to you can't wait until the next day? It's like a Christmas, you know, open up, unwrapping a Christmas present. And that's what's so awesome about our God, and why it's so, this hour, and when we share this on the 11th hour of ministries, we keep talking about a miracle in motion. This is what God wants to occur on this planet in order to show how much he loves us. Jesus died for us to be saved, and we are thanking him for going through what he went through, and he's returning our gratitude by showing his love to us and letting us share his love. And that's what's so amazing. And Lisa has a letter that I'd like to have her read here on air. I've never heard the letter, but I do know that with regards to the relationship that she had with when she first contacted the station, and then Josephine and Arthur, like, same with Boucher, they reached out in God's love, in godly love, to a perfect stranger and shared pure, true, godly love in Scripture. And this is what Lisa's heart has been moved to, write them a letter. And if that's okay with you, Lisa, I'd like to have you share your letter with us.
Okay, and I paraphrased from some of it, so apparently you need to listen to some of it twice.
Yeah.
It says, "My dearest brother and sister in Christ, first, thank you for your kindness and love. Do you realize how totally awesome it is for me that there are two people in Houston who care for me, pray for me, and love me more than I can begin to do these things for myself? Two people who have such wonderful, loving hearts that they continually bless me, having never met me. It is incomprehensible to me that at the same time it has become one of my miracles, my journey to Christ. You see, my whole life I've lived in service to others, always hoping that my works, deeds, actions would result in my finally being worthy of someone, anyone loving me. But always, as hard as I tried, I was never able to feel love. Oh, I'm realizing that in truth, in their own dysfunctional way, or some to their complete capability, they did love me. I just never felt loved. I lived in a home with 12 kids, my mom and dad, and spent my whole life being lonely and unloved. But God has used Arthur, Josephine, Mark, Judith, Edith, my sisters. He's used all of you to be the ones who make me feel loved, valuable, purposeful. From August 4th, the day after I talked with Mark on the radio, Arthur and Josephine so unselfishly reached out to me at a time when self-love was not even an option. Your hearts responded and you touched somewhere in me that at 50 years old had never been touched. From the first time we talked, I felt your love. I felt someone's unconditional, pure, genuine love for me. I was gobsmacked at this new feeling. As I said, I know now that all through my life people have loved me, but it wasn't until God, working through all of you, it wasn't until then that I realized I am worthy of love, even lovable. Having been separated from my husband of 21 years for 4 years at the end of his life, and when he moved back in last May, we had started healing. When in July 07, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, I begged him to come home and let me love him to heaven. I felt impressed by God to share that I was really seeking self-love. I told him I was trying to love myself, and when we had this conversation 2 days before he passed, he replied, "And you're almost there." The poor guy, for the 17 years we lived together, and even when we separated, he would say, "I love you," and I would reply, "Yeah, right." In hindsight, he did. I can only hope, as he sits at the right hand of God, that he forgives me and rejoices at the new me that came up from the water at the baptismal font. Now, as I venture out to find the person God always intended me to be, I was grieving the belief that I have so much love to give. I never imagined that Jesus would have set me out alone. And just now, as I was writing this and sharing with you, I am more accepting that I am not being sent out alone. He has given me all these people. I venture into the unknown with so much love and so many to love. I also have a greater understanding that as far as a life partner to share in my life's walk, I must first learn self-love, self-respect, and forgiveness. I am worthy of love, and no longer will I allow Satan's angels the satisfaction of feeling less than, unworthy, or unlovable. I am a child of God now, and he, along with my brothers and sisters, will stand as one in love and hope and life to the glory of God. I was reading the Everyday Guide to God, which contains hundreds of relevant Bible verses. I read them all with a highlighter in hand. I highlighted three. And as I said before, I cannot go out without the promise of hope, excitement, anticipation when God is promising me through Isaiah, through Luke, through Jeremiah that I have a hopeful future. It's awesome. I'm going out into a new world, holding God's hand to search for the person He intended me to be. And as I search for God and His purpose for my life, He will provide my needs, and the reward is a hopeful future. I'm so desperate to do it right. I deserve love and respect that others take for granted. I want to honor God to be exactly as He pictured when He created me and wrote the plan for my life. I have faith that as I grow in self-love, He will reveal more and more with which I can finally realize and what to do and when to do it. Look at me. I've gone on and on. I'm busy trying to put 15 years into boxes. I'm waiting for a check for my husband's 401k, God bless him. I have friends who gifted me with tires for my SUV so I can go rent a house once the funds come. When the opportunity arises, I will pay it forward to honor those kindnesses extended to me. I'm not sure how long I'll be here or how soon I can reach out to you folks again, but you're always in my thoughts and prayers. Thanks for your love, guidance, and participation in my journey. I am humbled and grateful.
That's just absolutely amazing. Arthur and Josephine, I know you're listening, and it's got to be just humbling to hear those words. And our God is so amazing. Coming to God and giving our lives to God by calling to God and letting Him into our lives, He transforms our lives. And what an absolutely amazing witness from what God has done in your life through the scripture. A is first, of course, we all know that. And His servants, who are just humble servants, you know, Josephine and Arthur, you know what they'd say to you? I just work here. That's what I say all the time. All glory and honor are God's. The people who know our Lord are selfless to the bone. That's to serve one another in love is what the Bible calls for. And there's a song, actually, that I feel is kind of fits right in with what we're talking about right now. So I'd like to just sit back and listen to the words of this song and feel what God's power and might can do.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Austrie Boucher.
Hey, Mark.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was something I needed.
What do you think, buddy? I mean, you know, without God in our lives, buddy, you know, we're lost and broken people. And that's Johnny Cash, by the way, singing that song, buddy. And sooner or later, God, it's going to cut us down. Do you remember a time in your life, buddy, when God just cut me down at my knees and then, you know, we got together and all of a sudden, you know, same thing for your life? And
I remember the old battles that I remember.
I mean, you know, we used to run hard and play hard and all that stuff, buddy. And, you know, what's interesting is that the way our Lord has, you know, moved in our lives, we're just so grateful the way he's transformed us into a new creation. But I think we're going to play another song, too, that it's called Nails in Your Hands, that kind of gives a flavor tonight as well of what we're feeling and how this evening is unfolding. Well, we're going to try to anyways, and we are having some communication difficulties, my fault, based on not knowing what numbers are what on the CD I brought in tonight. I believe it's number 4 on the CD. Let's try that. Yeah, there we go.
Tell me how you bore so much pain to love me until the heavens fade away, and all your scars will still remain, and forever they will say just how much you love me. I wanna say forever my love, forever my heart, forever my life is yours. Forever my love, forever my heart, forever my life is yours. Nails in your hands, nails in your feet, tell me how much you love me. Don't think you're proud, they tell me how, for so much pain to love me. Till the heavens fade away, all your scars will still remain, and forever they will stay just how much love me. I wanna stay forever my back, forever my heart, forever my life. Forever my heart, forever my life, yours. Till the heavens fade away, and all your scars will still remain, and forever they will say.
shut down my July. One day, forever my life, forever my heart, forever my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at the 11th Hour Ministries on KCEO Radio, AM 1000, what an amazing night. Here we are studying the mystery of the gospel, sharing God's love. We consider it to be a miracle in motion when we're here together, sharing God's love and truth. And we have just an awesome gathering of people here tonight on the radio, an awesome gathering of godly people that are listening, and we're all family members with here tonight on when we gather on this radio program to revere and honor our Lord. And how better to spend our time than sharing God's truth and God's love. As that song was progressing, I just opened my Bible to Psalms 84:10. And there it says, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the inn of, in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." I'm going to read that again. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked for a day." And, you know, I'll tell you, folks, tonight has just been absolutely an amazing blessing. Osri Boucher, my brother, I look forward to catching up with you, buddy. We have a minute and a half left here. I love you with the love of the Lord, buddy, as you know. We're going to go ahead and sign off here tonight, Boucher. So good night to you, brother. We love you mucho.
Good night to you, and God bless you.
Thanks, buddy.
And your message, Foss.
Thanks, buddy. I'll be in touch with you and Lisa and Edith here and Meredith, who may be listening right now. Mommy says hello here from the KCEO Radio, AM 1000. The 11th Hour Ministries, and Angelica and Alicia are over there playing with Meredith in the house, and we know they're having a great time and sharing love, and what a beautiful scene is that. God, we love you with the love of the Lord, and we love you with all of our hearts here at the 11th Hour Ministries. We look forward to getting together next week again, sharing more of God's truth and God's love, and what a privilege it is just to be able to say the word God. So let's this week try to really focus on doing the right thing in our hearts. Let's cleanse ourselves and really focus on wanting to get closer with God this week. God bless you, and we love you here at the 11th Hour Ministries. Good night.